the name of Jesus.
Come on and
lift up the name of Jesus.
Won't you
lift up the name of Jesus?
Help me
lift up the name of Jesus.
Lift
up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Won't you
lift up the name of Jesus? Lift up the name of Jesus. Your name be praised.
I am
which was and is and is to come.
You're the lion,
you're the lamb,
you're the lamb.
My kingdom come, thy will be done.
Your train,
you're the temple, for you are high and lifted up. Your name be praised. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Won't you lift
up the name of Jesus? Lift up the name of Jesus.
Won't you
lift up the name of Jesus?
A rumbling and a shaking in the spirit realm right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, you are worthy and high to be lifted up. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing like this. The world can't buy this. This isn't for sale. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty fill his sanctuary. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. And let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. And I got thinking about this. This is David speaking. And as a young boy, as a shepherd boy, he'd be by himself as a shepherd. And he would have his harp and he would worship the Lord. And in the scripture that I just read to you, he loved to worship the Lord. And he would do it by himself. And he would do it if he was the only person around a bunch of sheep. But he said, let's just do this together. It is so much better when we're gathered with a group of people, with people that love the Lord, that want to lift up his name, that want to glorify him. Because there's something about it. I love worship the Lord by myself when nobody's around. But man, when I could get together in a church filled with people that love the Lord, he goes, that's so much better. Let's continue to pour out all the love for him today.
You are my everything, and I will Hallelujah.
If you know there's no one like our God, no one like our Lord, can we stand and give him a hand clap of praise?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Bernie, ask the ushers to come at this time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Brother Gary, would you pray for the offering?
Thank you.
Our God is great. He's greater than any circumstance, greater than any situation, any disease, any ailment. He's greater. He's greater. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. He still has the whole world in his hand. He's greater than our current political situation. He's greater. Lord, I place my trust in you. I place my hope in you, God. Oh, can we just take a few moments? Can we lift our hands and lift our voices? Lord, it is you. You are great and greatly to be praised, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. I know it is often said, and it is, if you will, somewhat cliche. We do not know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. He's greater. He's greater. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. It was great to see a good group of ladies from this church be able to go and be a part of the ladies' conference that happened Friday and Saturday. And I'm just going to give them a forewarning. They are not required to, but they are certainly invited to tonight during our evening service if they would like to testify about the conference. What always amazes me about conferences, and I've been to quite a few, some youth conferences, men conferences, hasn't been to many ladies conferences, but the conferences that I have had opportunity to go to and be a part of, it has always amazed me how that many times after discussion or after the conference in discussion with others, how that they received a word from one portion and another one received a word from another portion, and how that though we were all there at the same time and heard the same things, how that certain parts spoke to me and certain parts spoke to this other individual. And I'm thankful of a God that works that way. And so we're going to give them opportunity tonight during our evening service if they would like to just tell maybe what they received in the middle of that conference. That would be certainly appropriate and invited tonight. And so we'll do that in the portion of tonight's service. I do want to say we are prepared. I assure you the decorations are not what they would be. Had the men won and the ladies be serving us. But just be thankful that there's decorations. And today after service, we invite any and all to come down stairs. The men will do our part and fulfill our obligation for losing in penny wars, and we will serve the women. Now, I don't know that we're going to actually bring the plate to the table, but we will certainly serve you as you bring your plate by and make sure that you have everything that you need. But that will be happening right after service this morning downstairs. And we invite everybody, please come and join in the fellowship and the time together after service here this morning. We are going to go to the Lord in prayer. I know that there are needs represented here in the house. Why don't you stand? If you have a need that you would like to signify by raising your hand, saying the Lord knows the need, knows the situation. God knows. Bible says he knows what we have need of before we ask or we even think it. So we can go to him in prayer. If you need a healing in your body, you need to be anointed and prayed for. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we would ask that you would step forward and the elders of the church will anoint and pray for you as the Bible instructs us to. But let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for another opportunity to be here in your house, Lord, to lift you up, to magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory and honor and praise. Lord, I know, God, amongst this congregation, there are many needs, God, situations and circumstances, Lord, that need your divine intervention, God, for you to work and to move, whether it be a healing of the body, God, a strengthening of the spirit, God, a touching, a renewing of the mind, Lord, whatever the situation is, Lord, we believe and we trust in your power to work and to move, God. To raise up, to strengthen, God. Lord, you're able, God. You're greater than any sickness. You're greater than any, God, thing that would try to oppress our heart and our mind. Lord, you're greater than any thought, God. You're greater than any depression. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify you. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you stretch your hand towards Sister Grimm? She comes for prayer right now in the name of Hallelujah. While you're standing, if you would grab your Bibles. As you're turning to Ephesians chapter number 4. To remind you in preparation and help for our harvest party happening here Monday, October the 31st from 5 to 7. We're asking each family to bring a couple bags of individually wrapped candy. That way we can put together the baggies to hand out during our harvest party. Many of you know what a wonderful time it is. We have quite a few people, somewhere in the neighborhood of 200, 250, sometimes over 250 people that come through the church, and we serve them soup. It's all free of charge. Give them candy. We're going to have a black light show happening out here in the sanctuary every 20 minutes, kind of a reoccurring show, kind of help with the flow of moving people here and there. And so we just, in order to help us, we need each family to bring a couple bags of individually wrapped candy. And then Sunday night, the 30th, which is a fifth Sunday. Normally on a fifth Sunday, we have what we call Faith and Family Night. And we're going to use that Faith and Family Night to prepare, to organize, to get everything together, wrap up all the candy, set up the stage. So all that would normally come on a Sunday night, and even if you wouldn't and you want to come help, we'd love to have you October the 30th on a Sunday night, getting ready for the harvest party on Monday, October the 31st. Other things on the calendar, hopefully you have received your calendar. If not, there is one posted back on the bulletin board, and if you would like to be on the email list, we can certainly add your email address to that and make sure you receive it in your email. Ephesians chapter number 4, begin reading in verse number 1. Paul writing the church at Ephesus, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." Pay attention to verse number 7, if you would. "But unto every one of us," everybody say everyone. "But unto every one of us is given," everybody say given. "To every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Everybody say gift of Christ. "Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Help the Lord, I want to preach upon this subject this morning, the gift of Christ. The gift of Christ. You put your Bibles down and bow your head, and why don't we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come one more time to be in your house, God, to assemble ourselves together, to lift you up and to magnify you, to praise you, God, to give you glory that you are so due and so worthy of. Now I pray, Lord, that you would open our heart, open our minds to receive your word, God, that we would leave here this morning enriched, renewed in the spirit of our mind, God, uplifted in spirit, to go forth and do your work, God. Do your will, God, in the world in which we live, God, according to the grace that you have given unto us through the gift of Christ. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. If you'll clap your hands, you may be seated. Brother Alex, good to see you this morning, brother. God bless you. The gift of Christ. The Old Testament, with its sacrificial and ceremonial systems, reveals how much mankind desperately needed a Savior. In fact, the Apostle Paul states in Galatians 3:24 that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. In other words, the law taught us how much we needed Jesus. The law gave us the types and shadows. And as we look into the Old Testament, we see those types and those shadows as they point us to Christ, showing us how the theme of redemption through Jesus Christ is a thread that is woven throughout all of Scripture. Furthermore, in comparison with the Testaments, the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 8:6 states that Jesus Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, established upon better promises. And while we live on this side of Calvary, it is important to look at what took place before the cross and to see the other reasons why the gift of Christ is so special. To look at those types and shadows, to survey the Old Testament, to look at those scriptures. Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, for these are they which testify of me." We look into the Word of God, and though we understand we do live in the new dispensation, if you will, we live in the New Testament or the New Covenant, it is incumbent upon us to look back at the Old Testament. To look at the law, to look at the ceremonies and the sacrifices that were given and the things that were done, because those things show us how much we need Christ. How much we as humanity, as mankind, needed redeeming. We needed a Savior. One of the ways that we can look into the Old Testament and see this type or the shadow of Christ, and one of the ways that we can survey the scriptures of the Old Testament and see how it parallels to us today has to do with the giving of gifts. You need to understand that in the Old Testament and in those times, even when the poorest person in a kingdom appeared before a king, they were required to bring a gift. They were required to bring something to be added to the treasury of the kingdom. It didn't matter how poor or destitute they were. They were to bring something. If they were to have an audience with the king, if they were to somehow gain entrance into the royal court, that it was required of them that they would bring some sort of gift. Whatever they could acquire, whatever they could show out of their substance, which showed allegiance and paid tribute to the monarch, it was incumbent upon them to do so. Gift-giving played such an important part in the social life of the East that the Hebrew language contains no less than 15 different expressions for the idea of giving a gift. Not only was it that way in the sense of royalty and politics, it also was that way in the sense of the tabernacle. When the Lord instituted what would take place in the tabernacle, in giving or bringing a sacrifice, Leviticus chapter 5 lets us know that if a soul sinned, he should bring a lamb. But if he could not afford a lamb, then he was to bring two turtle doves. And if he could not afford two turtle doves, then he should bring a fine flour for the sin offering. And the priest would make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. In other words, you had to come with something. If you couldn't afford a lamb, if you were too poor and too destitute, you couldn't afford to bring a lamb. Well, then maybe you could afford two turtle doves. And so it was required of you that you would go and purchase two turtle doves and bring them. And if you were poor, that you couldn't afford two turtle doves, well, then fine flour was to be brought and presented before the priest to make atonement for sin. Something was required. Some gifts were given voluntarily. Others were given in exchange for something else or in recognition of blessings. Some were even required. But the point in all of this is that mankind brought the gift. Mankind brought the gift. They brought something. Humanity brought something to God. Humanity came with something to give, some way to pay tribute or some way to hopefully have atonement through what they gave. See, it was that mankind would bring to God. But we need to understand something. That even if we were able to bring the whole world to God as a gift, it would not be enough. Follow me. In exchange for our soul, Jesus said, "For what shall a man give in exchange for a soul?" And I know that often we say, and we use that, and rightly so, in a sense to say that there's nothing that is worth a soul, and I get that, and that is right. But it's also understood in this way. There is nothing that you and I could ever give unto God that would ever suffice, that would ever be sufficient. There is no gift that we could come and give to Him as King that would ever be enough to pay the redemption price, to pay the debt of sin. There is nothing that you and I could ever come before God with. I don't care how much talent we have. I don't care how much wealth we have. I don't care how much fame we have. I don't care how much intellect we have. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that we could give in exchange for our soul. There is nothing that we could come to God and say, this is enough to purchase. This is enough to settle the debt of sin. This is enough. This is enough for you to save me. No, there is nothing you and I could ever do or give that would even come close to gaining the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter how smart I think I am. It doesn't matter if I owned all of the world and could present it as a gift unto God. It still wouldn't be enough. The whole world and all that it has is not enough of an exchange for a soul. See, that tells me something else. That tells me just how much God values us. That tells me how much God values human life. That tells me how much that when we see a world who is devaluing human existence, when we see a world who is willing to commit murder at the price of convenience because they do not value a soul, we serve a God who values a soul. And one soul, get this, one soul is worth more to God than all the world. All the material, all the possessions, everything that He created, we need to understand that when He breathed into mankind and we became a living soul, at that point, created in the image of God, we are worth more than all the world. You see, what's so amazing about the gift of Christ is this. While we have no opportunity, while sin left us spiritually bankrupt and destitute and separated from God with no ability to give a sufficient gift for reconciliation. There's nothing we could bring and give for ourselves. The King and King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords gave us something. He completely turned the table. That's why Jesus, one of the many reasons why Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant established upon better promises. In the Old Testament, you came and give. You would come and you would give your gift. It's not that God wasn't a blessing God then. He certainly was. But it was the focus was upon mankind bringing the gift to God. But now on the other side of the cross, on the other side of Calvary, because of Jesus Christ, now the focus is on Almighty God who gave the gift of Christ unto each and every one of us. I draw your attention to Romans chapter 5, verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if one by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more than they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the one free gift came upon all men justification of life.
what was taken away in the sin of Adam, what was taken away by the disobedience of one man, what left us spiritually destitute and unable to bring any gift that would ever be sufficient unto God. Now through Jesus Christ, the free gift given unto us by Almighty God, now you and I have opportunity through the free gift of Jesus Christ. We have grace through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. See, God was in Christ. We had no gift. We could not bring anything. It would be worthy of reconciliation. We, as imperfect, unholy, unrighteous mankind, could never come into the presence of a holy, righteous, perfect God. We didn't have opportunity, and there's no gift that would allow us access. There's no gift that we could come and give, and it'd be sufficient enough for him to say, okay, that's good enough. No, you and I would never have opportunity but for the free gift of Jesus Christ. But for the greatest gift that's ever been given, but for the grace which comes by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 4 and 9, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul is saying there's nothing you and I could ever do. There's no amount of work. There's no gift that we could ever give that would ever be sufficient, that would ever purchase our salvation. But by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not anything that you could do. I could never bring something worthy enough that he would be able to save me by myself. It had to come through the gift of Jesus Christ. But through the grace, through the gift of grace, through Jesus Christ, we need to understand this. It is sufficient for any and for all. I'll say that again. His grace is sufficient for any and for all. And while there's nothing that I could bring that would be good enough, there's nothing that I could do that would be bad enough. There's nothing that I could do that my God would look down and say, I'm sorry, but my grace is not sufficient for you. I'm sorry, but you've gone beyond the bounds of grace. No, my Bible tells me where sin doth abound, grace does that much more abound. My Bible tells me, though I make my bed in hell, he'll find me. The grace of God is such that while I could never bring something good enough, I can never do something bad enough. The grace of God is not sufficient for me. But we need to understand something that is brought out in a parable of Jesus. He's talking about a marriage. He's talking about a wedding feast for a son that he has prepared. It's a parable that is likened unto the kingdom of heaven. Jesus states the parable and how that the first that were invited, they did not come. They were too busy. They were doing their own thing. And the parable, he says that they were bidden but were not worthy to come. So he looks into his servants and says, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come. We've killed the fatted calf. We prepared. All is prepared. The wedding feast is set. It's all furnished. It's all ready to go. I need you to go find some. And he sent out his servants, and they compelled those to come in from the highways and the byways. And then he comes. The master of the feast comes, and he looks out on those that have gathered, and he sees one who has not on a wedding garment. This, understand what Jesus is saying in the parable. All has already been provided. Look at it, Matthew 22:10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found. Catch this, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, and he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And then this jumped out to me. He was speechless. Catch this. Paul says, is given unto every one of us the measure of grace, according to the gift of Christ, given unto every one of us. The man was speechless. You know why he was speechless? Because he had no excuse. The wedding garment was there. You know why he was speechless? Because he couldn't say you didn't have one that didn't fit. You know why he was speechless? Because he couldn't say, well, there weren't any left. They were all taken. You want to know why he was speechless? Because he had no excuse for why he didn't adorn himself with the wedding garment. It was already given. It was provided unto him. Catch it. Make no mistake what the parable is saying. There is given unto every one of us the gift of grace, a measure of grace according to the gift of Christ Jesus. We need to get it and we need to understand it. What made the king so upset is the fact that he had given the gift. They should have been coming with gifts for the wedding. But he already provided everything. He provided everything that they had needed. He just asked them to come. He just asked them to be present. And the only thing he asked was for them to put on what he had already given. I know I state this verse so many times, but it bears repeating. And for as many of you who have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. That that day comes and I stand before the king and I do not have on Christ. I do not have on the garment. I do not have on the spotlessness of Jesus Christ. And I do not have on the righteousness which is by faith in Jesus Christ. And I do not have on that wedding garment. Guess what? I will be like this man. I will be speechless. I will have no excuse for why I did not adorn myself with the gift that God gave. So then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing teeth. All he had to do was put on what was already provided. All he had to do was get on the garment. He didn't have to pay for it. There was one there, I assure you, that fit him. There was enough. Because there's given unto every one of us. Every single one of us have opportunity to adorn ourselves with the gift. Let me turn the tables for just a few moments. This God who is rich in mercy and love, wherewith he loved us. And he has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. When he has provided all of these things, he has given unto us freely. He has given unto us freely. In other words, we didn't pay for it. He purchased it, the Bible says, with his own blood. He bought it. He paid for it. And he freely gives it unto us. And in his love, in his grace, and his mercy. But let's stop to consider what happens to those, the Bible says, who obey not the gospel. Do not adorn themselves with the free gift that has been freely given of God. The Bible tells me that he will come taking fiery vengeance. You spurn the free gift that I gave you. You should have brought me a gift, but you couldn't because you're destitute. You're sinful. And so I give you the free gift, Jesus Christ, you won't even put it on. It was going to get quiet at this point. I knew, because that's a very solemn understanding, that there will be those that stand before him on judgment and they will be speechless. They will have no excuse for why they did not adorn themselves with the gift Christ. He freely gave it. But know this, no excuse will be sufficient. You will not be able to say, such and such happened, or such and such went on, or I committed such and such, and I'm just not able. No. There will be no excuse, because unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And guess what? There is enough grace to go around. There is enough grace to go around. The Apostle Paul said in his own testimony, because of the revelations that I received, there was given unto me a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. And I besought the Lord thrice that it would depart from me. I asked the Lord, please take this from me. But the response of God was this: Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is still enough. His grace is still sufficient. Guess what? It doesn't matter how big your past is. It doesn't matter how dark. It doesn't matter how sinful your existence. You need to know this, that he has a garment of grace that is just your size. He has a garment of grace that is sufficient to cover. And the grace of God through the gift of Christ is greater than any sin. There is not anyone more bad than God's grace is good. There is not anyone more unrighteous than the righteousness of God we have through Jesus Christ. And what God gave us through Jesus Christ is so far superior to what the devil took away from us in Adam. Is the gift of Christ. There is one other gift. Well, there's many more, but there's another one that we teach and we preach strongly. It is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he's preaching concerning what is happening, and he's testifying, these men are not drunk as ye suppose. This is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he goes on to say, talking about Jesus Christ, he looks at them. He said, you by your wicked hands, you have crucified and slain. But he has ascended and he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Gift of the Holy Ghost, which is upon these that speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. It is a free gift of God. need to understand the gift of the Holy Ghost is not something that we earn. It's not something that we're able to, by our works, possess. It is a gift of God. It is a free gift. It is something that the Spirit gives unto us through Jesus Christ, a promise of the Father. And that's why Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, when they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. I want to be a grateful recipient of the gift. I want to recognize the cost that I did not pay. He did. When I should have been the one to attempt to bring a gift, He knew it would never be sufficient. He knew what He had to do. For the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God put this plan in motion. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's given. He's already provided. The free gift is available. It's given unto every one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And you need to know you will never go beyond that measure. You will never extend further than the grace of God. Well, you and I also must apply the grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. You and I must believe. It is freely given. He stands with open arms. He stands with the gift of grace through Christ. He stands saying, "Here. Here it is. Here's what you need to come before me. Here's what you need. Here's what you must have in order to come before me. I have given. I have made a way for you. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. It is a price you could not pay, so I paid it for you. Here's the gift. Now believe. Believe that the grace is sufficient. Believe that the gift is enough for you to come. Believe that the gift is enough for you to make heaven your home. Believe and receive. Believe that it is for you. And how you and I receive the gift of God is by faith. We believe. You see, I believe the gift of God saves me from the penalty of sin. And I believe that the gift of God through Christ Jesus is saving me from the power of sin. And I believe that the gift of God through Jesus Christ will ultimately forever save me from the presence of sin. It is the gift of Christ. And Lord, I stand so grateful. Oh, let my life show, let my life be evident that I believe in the power of your great gift. Lord, let what I do and what I say and how I live, God, let it be a testimony of my thanks. You see, my praise is nothing but a display, a demonstration of my gratitude for the gift. My choosing to walk the way I walk and live how I live and do what I do and go where I go and say what I say. They are all responses of gratitude for the gift that is given unto me. What do we do? I tell many times I think I see more about how God deals with humanity in the way I interact with my own children. As a father, it's disheartening sometimes when I see those things that I have given unto my children. A gift that I've freely given. It's left out in the yard. It's broken. It's discarded. It's not appreciated. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Lord, does my life show how much I cherish the gift of Christ? Does my behavior, what I do, how I live, does it show the world that I'm grateful for the free gift that you've given? Or do I casually discard? Or casually display? Do I have it, a take it or leave it mentality? Or do I cherish it with everything within? Here this morning, and you've never been a recipient of the gift of the Holy Ghost, you need to understand it's for you. And it's a free gift. There's nothing you do to earn it. You just simply believe that it's for you. That He has freely given the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we're here this morning. Lord, if I've been a recipient of your free gift, and I so much have, let me be grateful, God. Let me say thanks, the fruit of my lips, giving praise and thanks unto your name. As they sing the song, would you come? Would you make your way to an altar? Would you bow where you are? Would you lift your hands? Would you display some type of gratitude that says, Lord, I'm thankful for the gift of Christ. I'm thankful.
My heart is overwhelmed, and I cannot hear your voice. I hold on to what is true.
I don't want to neglect it.
Though I cannot see
the free gift that you have given unto me.
The storms of life, they come, and the road ahead gets steep. I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe.
It didn't cost me anything.
I remind myself
to receive
of all that you've done.
It didn't cost me anything. He freely
and
gave
the life I have because you have come. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind. With hope, and every promise comes my way. when I feel your hands of grace.
It's a garment of grace, it's just your son.
Staying desperate for you, God.
He's provided
staying
it for
humbled
you.
Humbled at your feet. I will lift these hands.
We're gathered together.
Of
I don't want to be there without the garment.
I will believe
what has been freely provided.
I remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because you have come. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am.
Maybe you've seen similar footage yourself. Someone who is terminal and the only hope they have for living is that someone would be willing to give of themselves. Maybe kidney, lung, something that would allow for the other person to live. I've had the opportunity to see some footage when the person whose life has been saved by the generosity of the other person. See them weep uncontrollably. I'm so thankful someone else was willing to give of themselves so that they could live. Think about it, and sometimes in relation to my children, something happened in one of them, terminal, and someone would, out of the generosity and kindness and love in their heart, give something that is life-saving to one of my children. How grateful would I be?
words would not suffice. I couldn't do enough. I couldn't say thank you enough. Do we realize the free gift of Christ that we have? The only opportunity I had was sin. For the wages of sin or death, because the wages of sin is death. I was dying. Brother Al was dying. But he thought I was worth saving. So he gave his life. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I one more time want to raise my hand and say thank you for the gift, God. I had no hope. Destitute, destined for death, but for you, but for grace, but for the gift of Christ. Now I can live forever with you. Now I have life, and that more abundant because of the gift of Christ. One more time, why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you lift your voice? Why don't you display some gratitude? I thank you, Jesus. The gift of Christ. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift. Greatest gift that's ever been given. We thank you. I know that we often, God, in the secular world, we wait till Christmas, and even then we don't pay enough homage. We don't do enough. Say thank you. And every day of my life needs to be lived in such a way that says thank you. The gift of Christ. Oh, Jesus, we ask your blessing upon the food I'm about to partake of. Bless our fellowship one with another. I thank you all that you are and all that you do. In your precious name, the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Everybody said amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. We encourage you, we invite you to come downstairs, enjoy a meal together with us. Men, let's let the ladies go first, obviously, and make sure we get them served before we eat ourselves. God bless you. You may go.